Hello, this is Paul Hood. Many estate planners believe that there exists a set of generally accepted appraisal principles that all appraisers must follow. Unfortunately, the literature and the purported body of knowledge within the business appraisal profession are replete with disagreements, some bordering on vehement, on how to treat business valuation issues. The purpose of this podcast series is to highlight several demonstrated areas of significant disagreement among business appraisers that affect tax valuations as well as the general disciplines of business valuation as a whole. Where an appraiser stands on a particular valuation issue will affect a client's appraisal report. A little southern wisdom for you: where you stand depends a lot upon where you sit. When there exists a professional dispute on a particular issue, you can bet your bottom dollar that the IRS or the opposing appraiser will be on the other side of that issue. Therefore, given the amount of valuation litigation, it is imperative that estate planners know where appraisers stand on a particular issue before that issue is joined. This podcast discusses the following burning issue: the approaches to determining a discount for lack of marketability, or DLOM. We won't have time to go through how the different approaches for determining DLOM work, or the shortcomings or problems with each method. That would be a whole day's worth of effort in several podcasts. My purpose in this podcast is to introduce you to the fact that there are a panoply of different approaches for determining DLOM, and to alert you that more come to light all the time. While I've intended my list of DLOM approaches on this podcast to be exhaustive, there's no doubt that I've missed one or two. I have not intended to omit any DLOM approach, and any such omission is a mere oversight on my part. In this podcast, I'll identify 22 different DLOM approaches. According to the recently issued IRS DLOM Job Aid, which identifies only 18 DLOM approaches, the approaches for determining DLOM can be broken down into at least four main categories: the benchmark approaches, the securities-based approaches, the analytical approaches, and other approaches. I would break down these approaches into three categories: income approaches, market approaches, and miscellaneous approaches. However, I'll use the IRS categories in this podcast. Let's begin with a quick overview of the benchmark approaches, which typically consists of the pre-IPO studies, the restricted stock studies, the costs of flotation, and the Mandelbaum approach. These approaches are probably the best known to estate planners. It has been helpful to me in the past to think of the restricted stock studies as post-IPO studies, since restricted stocks have already gone public. Let's begin with the pre-IPO studies. There are three pre-IPO studies currently in use: one issued by Willamette, one by Valuation Advisors, and one by Emory. A pre-IPO study examines arm's-length sale transactions in the sale of a stock of a closely held company that has successfully achieved a successful IPO of its stock. In a pre-IPO study, DLOM is quantified by analyzing, with various adjustments, the difference between the public market price at which the stock was issued at the time of the IPO and the private market price at which a stock was sold prior to the IPO. The second benchmark analysis is that of the restricted stock studies, of which I am aware of 14: the recently issued Stout Risius Ross study, FMV Opinions, Management Planning, Silber, Willamette, the SEC Institutional Investor Studies, Gelman, Trout, Maroney, Maher, Liquistat, Columbia Financial Advisors, the Bruce Johnson study, and the study issued by Standard Research Associates. The premise behind the restricted stock studies is that the effect of lack of marketability can be quantified by comparing the sale price of publicly traded shares to the sale price of so-called restricted shares of the same company that are identical in all rights and powers except for their ability to be freely marketed. This restriction on marketability for the restricted shares is time limited, but does act to affect the ability of the holder to trade the shares during the restriction period. The third benchmark approach is the cost of flotation approach, which is an attempt to quantify DLOM by using as a proxy the cost to obtain marketability, in other words, the cost of underwriting a public offering as a percentage of the estimated trading value of the assumed marketable stock. It should be noted that this approach can only be used for estimating DLOM for a controlling interest, since a minority interest in a closely held company can't force a public offering. The fourth so-called benchmark approach is that articulated by Judge Laro in the tax court in the Mandelbaum case. This approach consists of analysis of 10 factors that can affect the lack of marketability. It should be noted that the tax court has not adopted this approach as the go-to approach for determining DLOM. In fact, several tax court judges have expressly rejected the Mandelbaum factors as being determinative. This brings us to the second category of approaches, the so-called securities-based approaches. There are at least five such approaches, and several of these approaches involve the use of stock options to measure DLOM. The first such options approach is the Black-Scholes option pricing method, commonly also referred to as the CHAF application, which measures DLOM by the cost of a European put option that is only exercisable at its expiration. The second securities-based approach is named after the person who originated it, Finnerty. The Finnerty approach uses the price of a so-called look-back option to measure DLOM. The third so-called securities approach is called LEAPS, which is an acronym for Long-Term Equity Anticipation Securities. LEAPS attempt to quantify DLOM by analyzing the cost of buying long-term put options to protect against declines in the stock price. The LEAPS analysis probably gives a floor for DLOM since it must be adjusted for closely held company factors. The fourth such so-called securities-based approach also is named after its originator, Longstaff. Like the Finnerty approach, the Longstaff approach also measures DLOM by the cost of a look-back option. DLOM and Longstaff's approach is the present value difference between what the investor could sell the security for after the marketability restrictions have lapsed and the maximum price the security could have sold for during the restriction period. The fifth so-called securities approach was not discussed in the DLOM job aid, and it is too named after its originator, Muhlbrook. In the Muhlbrook approach, the cost of holding a single stock in a retirement plan is distinguished from holding a diversified portfolio, and this cost is equivalent to DLOM. The sixth so-called securities approach involves the use of bid-ask spreads on publicly traded stocks, which with DLOM being the percentage difference between the bid price and the ask price. As risk of the company goes up, the differential and thus DLOM goes up as well. The next category, according to the IRS, are the so-called analytical approaches. The first such approach was developed by Ruck. She measured the sales price of 128 stocks on the exchanges one day after the announcement of a private placement and compared that price to the share price involved in the placement. The percentage difference is attributable to DLOM. The second so-called analytical approach also is named after its developers, Herzl and Smith. This approach used regression analysis to study 7 different variables in restricted versus unregistered stocks. They concluded that DLOM was approximately 13.5%. The third so-called analytical approach is that referred to as the Bajaj approach. This approach analyzed 88 private placement transactions and concluded that DLOM was 7.23%. The fourth so-called analytical approach was that developed by Ashok Abbott. In his approach, Abbott analyzes 3 proxies for marketability and liquidity: bid-ask spreads, percentage of no trade days, and the cost to trade 1 round lot of stock. He distinguishes between DLOM and a discount for lack of liquidity. This brings us to the final IRS DLOM job aid category of approaches, so-called other approaches. The first of these is the Quantitative Marketability Discount Model, or QMDM, which was developed by Chris Mercer and the folks at Mercer Capital. QMDM calculates a matrix of discounts for lack of marketability based on a range of 4 basic variables, which include rate of appreciation in assets, expected holding period until liquidation, expected dividend distribution yield, and the required rate of return for the hypothetical investor. The appraiser estimates the variables from the matrix and selects those that are most appropriate for the subject interest. The intersection of those variables within the calculation mix yields DLOM. The second so-called other approach, the non-marketable investment company evaluation, is referred to as NICE and was developed by Will Frazier. NICE estimates DLOM through a pure income approach that subsumes DLOM in as an additional risk in the overall discount rate. The third so-called other approach is from the National Economic Research Associates, a consulting firm, and was developed by David Tabak. This approach, referred to as NERA, uses the Capital Asset Pricing Model, or CAPM, to compute DLOM. The fourth so-called other approach is from Partnership Profiles, which is issued by Partnership Spectrum. This approach analyzes sales of minority interest in publicly traded limited partnerships. This method does not compute a separate DLOM, but rather a combined discount for lack of marketability and lack of control. The fifth so-called other method studies public versus private PE ratios and acquisitions using merger stat data. Since the data involves controlling interest, you probably only see it most commonly used in computing DLOM in a controlling interest situation. The last three methods are not discussed in the IRS DLOM job aid. The first of these is the practical scoring method developed by Rand Curtis. This qualitative analysis gives and takes away points for the badges of non-marketability. The second of these methods is the time model developed by John Stockdale Sr. This approach quantifies DLOM as a function of 3 factors: the future value as a function of time, the probability of sale as a function of time, and the present value as a function of time. The last of these methods is the Abrams quantitative approach, which attempts to break down DLOM into the following component parts: delay until sale, transaction costs, and the uncertainty of sale. That concludes this podcast. The next in this series of burning issues involves the applicability of DLOM to a controlling interest. Thank you very much.